Let's pray for a minute. Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you that you're Lord, and you always have been Lord, and you always will be Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to speak through me. I thank you for speaking to me. You do all things well, Lord, and we just trust you with every part of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. You know, it's been a beautiful couple of days, the last couple of days, and it looks like today is going to be beautiful until later tonight. Yeah. It looks like spring has sprung, finally. And that's great. Last Sunday afternoon, I cut my grass in a pair of shorts and a long-sleeve t-shirt, and then it snowed on Monday and Tuesday. So, well, what are you going to do? But yesterday was beautiful. Friday was nice. As has happened quite a few times in my life, recently I heard a song, and a line from a song kind of jumped out at me, and it kind of stuck with me since I heard it. And it wasn't a gospel song. It wasn't George Beverly Shea singing in a deep voice a hymn. But the words that stuck out to me, they stuck out to me. So I started to think about them. And in this song, the line that stuck out to me was, the guy said, "Coming from where I come from," is what he said. And I've kind of been thinking about ever since then. And those of you who know me know that I'm a baseball lover, and I've been reading a Pete Rose book that I bought at Half Price Books for about $3 or $4. And it's called Hustle, which was what Pete was famous for, right? He was Charlie Hustle, which he was called by some players on the Dodgers because they were basically making fun of him for running to first base after he got a walk. And, you know, that kind of became his calling card, that Pete hustled more than everybody else did. But then when when I was a little kid, he was my favorite ball player, you know. He was in Cincinnati. He was a big deal. I was a little kid. As you get older and you start to learn more about people's lives, you realize that the hustle had another meaning in Pete's life. Pete wasn't the greatest guy in the world, to be honest with you, in a lot of ways. And this book kind of goes into some of that stuff. And it doesn't shock me. You know, as a little kid, I would have never imagined, you know, someone could be this way. But, you know, as I've gotten older, I know how we're all human and we all aren't perfect. But as I've been reading this book, I was thinking about something the other day as I was kind of thinking about, you know, where I come from, this idea. And the author of the book, I feel like he's trying to tie Pete's successes and his failures to where he came from. He came from Sailor Park, west side of Cincinnati, kind of a rough area, kind of you worked hard or you didn't make it area. Probably wasn't a lot of social services available to people in that area when he was a kid. And, you know, that definitely played into part of who he was and how he was. But you can't, at the same time, he's trying to credit where he came from and blame where he came from, which is kind of a complicated kind of a thing to do, you know? In the end, it falls on the person, okay? We know that. So, you know, every one of us has our own unique story. And we have all been shaped from where we came from. You know, our initial reactions to things is usually shaped by where we came from, whether that's positively or negatively. Our attitudes, our outlooks, and our experience are shaped by where we came from. So then I started to think about some Bible stories, you know, started to come to my mind. And the first one I thought of was David and Goliath, right? And we know, you know, Goliath was coming out and he was ridiculing the army of Israel. And I'm just going to read you a couple of verses from 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. After, you know, David has arrived, David gets sent there by his father with some supplies. And he goes to visit his brothers. And he hears what Goliath is doing, you know, ridiculing the army, challenging them. And he also is seeing that the men are terribly afraid. Okay? So in verse 17, or in chapter 17, verse 32, it says, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" So that's what David has to say about it. And then if you jump over to 34 to 37, David says, "And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God.' David said, 'Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.'" So, you know, what David was saying here was, where I come from, I've killed a lion and a bear that tried to take a sheep from my flock. He says, "I know the Lord will see me through." Now, in Luke 15 is the story of the prodigal son. We all know the story. You know, the prodigal son has went and said he wants his half of his father's wealth, basically. And he gives it to him, and he takes it, and he blows it. Wine and women. That's how he blew it, for the most part, I would say. So he blows his money, and then there comes a famine. And he takes a job feeding some hogs. And just as he's about to eat the husks that he's going to feed the hogs, you know what he says? "Where I come from, my father's hired servants have bread to spare. I will go home and ask to be a servant." So, in Matthew 14... to 21, it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Supplies, food, I would say, that word means. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now the disciples, when he said, feed them, the disciples said, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Where we come from, that feeds a few people, but not thousands, with extras left over. But what Jesus is saying here is, where I come from, there's an ample supply. So we're going to keep going in Matthew 14, 22. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, Peter was able to walk on the water when he had his eyes on Jesus, right? But the minute he saw the waves and the wind, he said, wow, look at those waves. Where I come from, a man can't walk on the water. He got his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink. But Jesus, of course, reached out and took his hand and saved him from sinking, right? And what he showed him was, where Jesus comes from, anywhere he stepped was solid ground, even on the water. So in Matthew 8, in verse 5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. So the centurion said to Jesus, you don't need to even come to my house. Just speak the word. Because where I come from, a man in authority only has to speak the word and it's done. And then what did Jesus say there in more modern terms? Finally, somebody gets it. Finally, somebody gets it. You know, Jesus spoke the truth to us with full authority. In John 17, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words, they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine, or they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and would declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me be in them, and I in them. Now, I didn't count how many times he said it in there, but you know what Jesus wants us to realize is that where he came from, which is being one with the Father, is also where we come from. And actually, it's where we are right now. We're still one with the Father. We just don't walk in that. In Mark 4, 35, it says, "And that same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So Jesus is saying here, where's your faith? You know, he says, where I come from, it's peace. There's no need to fear. I heard a statistic the other day, and it said that 50% of late teens and early 20-somethings are suffering from anxiety and depression issues. And I actually heard a interview with a guy and his mother who wrote a book together, and this kid was in high school and he was really having a lot of depression problems, and him and his mother wrote a book together. And they were talking about how the shutdown of life in 2020 came at a crucial point in the mental and emotional developmental stages of some of these kids. And that they believe that has a lot to do with this. Now, when all that happened, I was 50 years old. And it was hard for me. You know, the way life changed and just, it just was a tough time for everyone. I'm not saying just me. Everyone had to deal with it in their own way, you know. it was definitely something that we had never experienced before. And everyone was going through it at the same time. So as people are trying to take care of themselves and get themselves through something, they're not so worried about making sure someone else is taken care of. You know, they don't have that vision to see that, oh, I'm trying to take care of me, but I also got to take care of these little ones who are dealing with stuff that no one's really had to deal with before. So, you know, anxiety and depression will make you feel just like the disciples felt on that boat in the middle of the raging storm. Blown to and fro, taking on water, and you're sure you're going to die. You know, and Jesus spoke those three words, peace, be still. Jesus knows that where he's from, nothing can touch you unless it's part of God's plan. I heard someone recently say that peace is not a destination. It's a series of peaks and valleys. You're resting on the peaks in his peace, and you're trusting in the valleys for peace. So I have a question for you. From where you come from, does this come easy for you? Or do you find it nearly impossible to find peace? You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are kin to the Prince of Peace. So it really is where you come from. You can rest in peace when you're on the peak and it's all good. And you can trust for peace when it's tough and you're in the valley. You know, where you come from affects who you are and your initial reactions to things, but you don't have to let it define you. You aren't required to repeat bad decisions, and you don't have to continue to live in fear. You know, I was thinking last week that on March the 11th, 2026, my parents celebrated their 59th wedding anniversary. Years is a long time. I think you could ask both of them. They would both say that. Jokingly, yes, that's a long time. And, you know, I was thinking yesterday, from where my dad comes from, my grandmother was widowed at 31. My dad was 5 years old. After his dad died, my grandmother never dated. She wouldn't even go to a fruit stand where she heard the fruit guy thought she was cute. She quit going there. She wasn't going to deal with that. So I can tell you that my dad did not grow up seeing a husband take care of his wife and his family. And he had no one to pattern himself after. And I'm not trying to throw rocks at anyone, but my uncle is proof that two people can grow up in the same circumstances and have drastically different outcomes. He was divorced 3 times. Now, my mom's parents, they were divorced when she was a teenager. How old were you, Mom? 15? She was a teenager. And you know, over the years, she's told me a little bit about, you know, her life when she was younger, but not a ton of things about it, because I'm sure some of those things are painful and hurtful, you know. And I'm sure she remembers plenty of unhappy moments between her parents. And my grandmother, she never found happiness in marriage. My grandfather did find happiness in marriage, but it was after my mom and dad were already married. So neither of my parents had any practical example of how to make a marriage work or what it looked like. But where you come from doesn't have to define who you become. 59 years later, they're living proof of that. You could chart a new course. So where do you come from? I encourage you to think about that when you get a chance. What part of where you come from is the biggest hindrance to you walking in the reality of where you truly come from? We are the sons and daughters of God. Why don't we truly walk in that? You know, I'm not a country music fan, but any of you that are know Alan Jackson had a song called Where I Come From. It was pretty popular years ago. And the one lines of his song said, "Where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven, where I come from." That's what his song said. And as I was sitting around, I was thinking about, where do I come from? I can't make it rhyme. Do you know where I come from? I come from hamburgers and peanut butter sandwiches. Without those, I wouldn't be alive today. That's about all I ate when I was young. Where I come from, my parents were in love and I knew it. Where I come from, I was loved, but there were rules and consequences when you didn't follow the rules. Where I come from, I didn't get everything I wanted, but I got what I needed. Where I come from, baseball was my first love, but not my greatest love. Where I come from, I was never taught to discriminate. Where I come from, I was raised to know God loved me. Where do you come from? I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that the answer to every one of us to that question is, we come from you. and all that that means, all that that entails. Each one of us come from places that have good and they have bad, and they have hard and they have easy parts of our young life, if you want to call it that. But Lord, we have to not let any of those get in the way of where we truly come from, and that's from you. You are our portion. If we settle for anything less, we're crazy. So, Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord. I ask you to give them pause in the next few days to think a little bit about where they come from. And Lord, I think I know what hinders me from walking completely in who I really am. It's different for each one of us, Lord. So, Lord, I just thank you for loving us when we're not lovable, and helping us to grow, and help us to grow up into you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.